It's my close personal friend, Andy Welfley.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Who are you again?
I know. It's like, see, we talk every day just about via the Facebook Messenger, or this week a little bit more with messages and things like that. But it dawns on me that unless we are recording a podcast or accidentally hitting call in the Facebook Messenger app, we don't ever actually hear each other's voices.
I know. It's been, I think, August 20th of last year was the last episode.
Yeah, it's been almost 11 months, and I have literally not moved from the computer at all. I've been sitting here the entire time.
You have gone through a lot of changes since then.
Yeah, it's been different. It's been different. Just doing some major life changes. Speaking of, we should do this more often.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I think you were job hunting, and then you were starting a new job, and I had a lot of stuff going on, and Dot Grid just kind of fell by the wayside. I think we tried a couple false starts with recording some episodes, and then all of a sudden, like, it just didn't work out.
Yeah, I was going through some of our older show notes today, and I was like, oh, we did try to record an episode on that, or
it was sleep.
We did a sleep one. We tried to do a coffee one.
Yeah, well, the coffee one we did, we just rolled it into episode 14, and it was basically about work, but there was just, like, some things about coffee in there.
Yeah.
And then I think with the sleep episode, we were just both like, you know, this is, we're not sleepologists. We don't know anything about this.
We didn't have the science backing. We were like, we didn't want to have to put a disclaimer at the beginning. Now, listen, this is purely based on conjecture and personal experience.
We're just two white dudes talking about the science of sleep, and we don't know anything.
Yeah, I went back and looked at those show notes, and there's a lot of pictures of the Ambien walrus in there. I guess that can be one of the major changes we talk about. I'm not taking the Ambien anymore, so I'll remember all of this.
He's not just sleep talking, folks.
No, this is not just me calling up Andy in the midst of a stupor and saying, let's have a conversation. I was pleasantly surprised with all of the positive feedback and responses that we got on Twitter today when I logged into the Dot Grid podcast account for the first time in 9 months.
Like, all four of our fans said something.
Yes, and a couple of their friends were like, who are you talking to? And they're like, shut up, it's a niche thing you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. No, yeah. I every now and then I hear from, like, my friend Elaine, who lives down in San Jose, she is like, I miss Dot Grid. Because, you know, we combine a lot of, like, analog, pencil, stationary stuff with, like, nerdy computer stuff. So, but both nerdy stuff is represented, yeah.
That's kind of the idea behind the podcast at the beginning, and it rang well with some people. Some people liked it. Jacoby gets on us every once in a while about how we need to be recording more episodes. So maybe this will be the start of season two. We'll just say that we took a break and we're going to go into a second season. It's like Family Guy. After one season, they got canceled and they didn't, or maybe it was like two seasons. I don't remember. But they had like a big break and then they got bought by Fox or Cartoon Network or something and brought back to do more episodes. That's us. We're the Family Guy of the internet, except for the actual Family Guy.
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Accept that mantle, Andy Welfley. Wear it with pride.
Well, didn't the same thing happen with Futurama?
That's the show I'm thinking of.
Maybe we can be the Futurama of the internet.
I would rather be the Futurama of the internet. If we're gonna pick animated shows that were once and that were once canceled, I think that's the one I would rather go with.
Yeah,
cool. I'm good with it.
Cool.
So
what have you been up to? I know what you've been up to, but everybody listening in listenerland does not know what you've been up to.
We put our voice sounds into your ears. I was freelancing, I guess. I had quit my job as a teacher, and I was doing the freelance thing and trying to make that work and applying for some other jobs in the process. Wrote a Medium piece about what a spectacular failure quitting my job, my good, reasonably well-paying for an education I just spent too much money at grad school to get a master's degree in this job. What a major mistake it was to quit that, because I ended up, after we recorded the episode 14, getting a call from my former supervisor and ended up becoming essentially a long-term sub for one more semester for a class of gifted middle schoolers in the same county that I've been working for. But in the interim, or towards the end of that, I had been applying for some other jobs because I knew that I wanted to work remote. I knew that I kind of wanted to work for a technology-based company if I could, and I applied for a couple of different things and ended up, through happenstance, kind of getting attached to the company for whom I now work. And it really has turned out to be a great match because the team is semi-remote located, so we have a main office in Malaysia. I did not move to Malaysia, spoiler alert.
That would be amazing if you moved to Malaysia.
Right, that would be... Oh, by the way, I can't believe I buried that lead. I live in Penang, Malaysia now.
By the way.
Yeah. No, so I work for a company called Pictochart. We're based out of Penang, Malaysia. We have a team of about just over 50 people now, and about 10 of us are remote. Most of the people on the marketing team are remote, so we're spread out everywhere from, like, Barcelona to, part of our team was in Argentina. They're in Chile now, and then we have another... Our community evangelist is part of Remote Year, which I don't know if you know much about Remote Year, Andy, but it's super cool. They go and live in a different spot for a month at a time for 12 consecutive months.
Oh, wow.
So she was in the Czech Republic up until the end of June, and she's in Belgrade, Serbia now. And will be until the end of this month. And then in August, they were scheduled to go to Turkey, but they decided after bombing number one that would be a bad idea.
Yeah.
So they're going to go to London for a month.
If I was not married and didn't have cats, I would be all about something like that.
Well, and Elizabeth and I have talked about it. Were it not for the boys, and I love my dogs, love them very, very much, but were it not for the boys, we would try to do a bit more traveling because she can do a good portion of her design and styling work wherever it is we are.
Yeah.
You know, the props wouldn't necessarily travel with us as well, but we could figure out what to do with those. But then again, I mean, there's also something to be said for setting down roots in a community and establishing, you know, friendships and connections. And I don't think my entire D&D group would travel with me, to be honest. I've tried playing that over the internet. It's not as easy as you think.
Yeah. Well, and besides getting a new job, you actually have moved into Nashville as well, haven't you?
Yeah. We were living in Shelbyville in this great farmhouse, kind of out in the middle of nowhere.
Pencil capital of the world.
It's in Shelbyville, in the pencil capital of the world. I feel so bad that I didn't actually tour Musgrave while we were down there.
You're the worst.
It's only like an hour away, so I can still go. Now that I know it's there, I can still make that trip.
Yeah.
And their website's really bad. It doesn't say, click this button to sign up for a tour.
Musgrave is a 100-year-old company now, and I'm pretty sure they built that website back when they started.
Yes, approximately then. I think it was originally written out in just ones and zeros. The conversion to HTML and CSS was not kind to them.
Yeah.
No, so back at the beginning of February, we moved into Nashville proper. So now I work from home, and my lovely wife works from home. I have a co-working spot I go to a couple times a week, which I really enjoy because that gives me a chance to sit and talk to people and not constantly be beckoned by my bed in the other room for a nap. I tend to be a little bit more productive when I'm at co-working because I don't have like dogs to walk or mail to retrieve and check multiple times, and laundry to do, which doesn't sound like it would be very exciting, but when you've got writer's block, anything is more exciting than trying to put words on paper.
We should do a whole episode about working remote.
I thought you were going to say writer's block. I was like, we can do a whole episode of writer's block.
That too.
Are you working remote a day or two a week?
Usually. On Wednesdays, something we talked about in the last episode, we try not to schedule meetings on Wednesdays. There's a lot of people who live in San Francisco, and it's a pretty bad commute down the peninsula in rush hour. So a lot of people work from home on Wednesdays. I try like every other Wednesday I usually get to do it, but my remote working experience I'm sure is much, much different than yours. So that should be a discussion we have.
It is my entire day, and I feel like now that I've been doing this job for a little more than for right at about 6 months, I feel like I finally got myself into a rhythm and a groove that I feel good and right about the amount of work that I get done, the amount of time that I spend on particular things every day and every week. I think part of that has to do with the fact that I'm getting used to the job. Part of it also has the fact to do with, you know, when I was freelancing, I kind of did my own thing. Mm-hmm. I could figure out what hours I wanted to work as long as things were turned in on time. I guess it really doesn't help, too, that the office is a 13-hour difference.
Yeah.
That doesn't help me go to bed at a reasonable hour and wake up at a reasonable hour. And the people at work know that. Have I told you that our CEO and our HR person get on me on a regular basis at like 11 at night? They're like, go to bed. You need to be sleeping. Get out of the Slack. And I'm like, but this is my prime time. This is when I'm doing things.
Yeah.
They're like, no, you're going to bed now. And I'm like, okay. So I do. And I go to bed and everything's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, we should definitely talk about remote at some point.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, remote working, maybe something tangential in the same episode, work-life balance, which managing your time, we've kind of talked about. And then writer's block.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's almost like we are going to have enough material to record more episodes.
Maybe we should do this again sometime.
We should. And that, I was thinking about that as we were trying to put our plan together today. I think that, and Andy and I have been talking for months about doing the episode, but more in a more concrete way in the past week or week and a half about let's actually pick a day and an actual topic. And I just say, oh, it'd be so great to put a reunion episode together. It's so nostalgic. No, we actually have been talking about it seriously. I've been thinking that, you know, again, because it's a little after, it's about 9:45 where I am now. And when I was teaching, recording at 9:45 on a Thursday would put me behind the eight ball in a bad, bad way. But, you know, my schedule's a little more flexible now. So we've got some episode ideas. We obviously have traction with the four people on the internet that like us. So, yeah, we could, I would not have a problem picking this back up and doing it a little more often.
Perfect.
So what kind of stuff are you, are you doing the same kind of thing with work?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm on a different team at work than I think I may have been on when we recorded last. Well, when we last recorded, I had just gotten back from a trip to Portland.
Did you listen to our episode today?
I did. I just listened to it today. So
I should have done better research.
I sent you a Snapchat of me listening to episode 14.
I should definitely download Snapchat on my recently reset phone, which of course is a thing that will surprise no one that I recently did a factory reset on my phone.
Exactly.
I should definitely download Snapchat again since I thought I would get a notification, and I guess I only would.
I snap now. That's a thing.
That's going to expire by the time I get this, isn't it? Like, I don't know how long snaps, how long do individual...
24 hours.
If you're a user that uses Snapchat, which means you're one of our listeners that is below the age of 30.
Elaine uses Snapchat.
Elaine, please tell me that snap is still going to be there by the time I...
If I post it just to my story, it lives there for 24 hours. But if I send it to you, it lives there until you read it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Good. Because I have not, like I said, I haven't downloaded Snapchat on the phone on the thing yet. And to be honest with you, and we will talk a little bit more about this based on the agenda that I see here in front of me. I don't know if I'm going to download anything right now anyway because this second developer beta is a little buggy.
Because your iOS devices don't work.
Right. Because it's entirely possible that by the time this is released to the public, I will have done yet another factory reset on my phone.
So I should mention that we're just going to cover a little bit of a lot of topics that are kind of dot gritty. So one of them... On this episode.
Dot gritty.
So one of them would be...
Well, dot gritty. I was thinking more like The Revenant.
Oh, yeah. Like gritty. Dot gritty. That's pretty good. Pretty good episode title. So we should probably talk about some of the betas that we are using and trying. All of my Apple devices at this point are work provided. And nobody at work is going to stop me from putting betas on there. But I have a lot of other little like weird profiles and... buggy beta like Facebook software and things like that that I use and I need to use, so I'm definitely going to at least wait until like a few public betas in or even just the Gold Master release. How are you liking all the public betas?
When
did they release?
The public betas released today.
Nice.
So I knew this was coming up because they talk about, you know, we're going to release in July, and I knew that, you know, at the beginning of July, obviously, the time was coming. And so I really, really wanted to do the honest, legit thing and go sign up for the public beta because that's what I have done before. Every time I pulled up the page that you're supposed to go to download the profile via the official Apple site, Safari would throw me an error on my phone and say, this can't be downloaded, do this, that, or the other thing. And I did some research online. And
it's surprising because Apple.com is like the only, like... Safari is the only browser that actually works for Apple.com. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing is I'm looking and I'm trying to figure it out and I'm trying to, you know, make it work. And so I'm doing some Google research using my mad Google foo skills to try to figure out why this error is popping up. And they're throwing around terms like UDID and MAC address and things like that. And shit got confusing. There's our explicit tag. And so I did a little bit more Googling and through Redmond Pie, which is one of the semi-reputable Mac rumor style sites, I found a way to just download the developer profile. So I downloaded the developer beta 2, which has not been bad. I'm still on a 6+, so there are a lot of really cool things that have been added, like the Raised Awake, which is something that Android phones have had for a little while, and a lot of the 3D touch stuff that I can't take advantage of.
Yeah.
But there's some cool stuff with messages that I sent you some screenshots of the other day, and some cool things that are going on with that. I'm not 100% sold on the way the widgets look now. I do like that from the lock screen, you can it doesn't automatically go to the home screen if you unlock it with Touch ID, so you can kind of take advantage of notifications a little bit more. I also like that you can swipe directly to the camera instead of having to swipe up, because sometimes that was a little buggy. Did you do the camera? Did you do the control center? Whatever. I do like that, but I mean, other than that, I guess I really just have the beta downloaded to say that I have the beta downloaded.
I guess if I could download just one thing, it would be just the new messages functionality. That looks really fun.
It's cool. I sent one enlarged emoji to my wife earlier just to see what it looked like in comparison to...
Hey, baby, check out my enlarged emoji.
Oh, if we didn't have the explicit tag before. I sent one just to see, because thanks to the communication that you and I do, Facebook Messenger has become a pretty dominant messaging platform in my life, because you and my wife and my brother are pretty much the only people that I talk to on things. And if I run across something on Facebook or a link or something, I really like the rich link previews that Facebook Messenger has been doing. Mm-hmm. Spoiler, Messages has that now, and I like it a little bit better.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what the new messages look like compared to Facebook Messenger, and it feels like, in a way, and I know that these things are planned months, if not quarters or years out, it almost feels like, in a way, that Messages is almost playing catch up to Facebook Messenger and some of the cool things that Facebook Messenger has been doing. That being said, with the market share that iMessage has, it's almost like their adoption numbers are going to go through the roof pretty quickly.
Yeah,
just because it's automatically there on people's devices. I will not download the Sierra beta because my work computer. There are two Macs in our house now because we talked on episode 12 or episode 13, I think, about me getting my first Mac. Elizabeth has the MacBook Air now.
Yeah,
I have a work provided MacBook Pro. And I will not be putting the beta on it because this computer is my livelihood.
Yeah.
And if something goes wrong and I can't get into it, I can do a significant portion of my work on my phone, but no one wants to do that.
Yeah.
Even Federico and Mike don't want to do that. At least they have the big iPads.
Yeah, he has a big Pro.
Yeah, I don't. I could do a good portion of my work on my phone, but it would be painful. So I'm not going to download the Mac OS beta, which, thank God, it's Mac OS now, and I don't have to figure out whether it's OS X or OS 10. We don't have to have that argument anymore.
It's funny because the naming of this is such a very content strategy thing, and it's just fun when I can hear John Gruber, for example, just talk through it and explain how this is the logical choice, and there's no way they can't rename it to Mac OS. And that's so great, because that's arguments that I have at work all day.
I think it's I think it's really on the path to condense down to just be OS at some point.
Yeah,
because we're at 4 now, right? iOS, Mac OS, tvOS, and watchOS.
I think so.
Which I kind of wish there was a public beta for the tvOS, because we have an Apple TV now too. Look at us. I've gone full stop. You know this. Gone full stop into the Apple world, and I'm excited to see some of the new stuff they're doing with the Apple TV. I bought in early on Google TV.
Yeah.
And kind of hoping that they would outfit that platform a little bit better, and they did not.
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that Apple TV, looks like they made a really good investment in the platform with this most recent hardware release. So I'm hoping that goes better.
I have an Android phone now. I also have my iPhone, but I have an Android tester phone. It's funny, we kind of skirted toward the other direction since we talked last.
Yeah, because I at least had an Android tablet the last time we spoke, and since then I have set that up for resale or something. I traded it in for, I don't even remember. I know that the money that I got from it went towards the Apple TV.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a Galaxy S6 in addition to my iPhone, and it's great. There's some things it does better than a Mac, than an Apple, like an iPhone. There's some things that it does worse, but I like using it a lot, and it also works with my Oculus Gear VR, which is pretty great.
That was your Christmas present from Mark, right?
Yes, we got some Gear VRs, and this tester, I wanted to make sure it was compatible with it, because it can only be like one or two generation back Samsung devices. And Yeah, it works good. It overheats sometimes. I try playing Land's End, which is by the same people who made Monument Valley. So it's beautiful.
Ooh, fun.
It's beautiful, but after 10 minutes, it overheats.
You're like, oh, God, my retinas. Good. My retinas are on fire.
Yeah. So sometimes I just take out the phone and put it in the refrigerator for a while.
Seriously?
Yeah, that helps it cool down a little bit.
You're like, I put it in the rice in the refrigerator just in case my sweat got on it.
Yeah.
You got to make sure that that gets out there too. How is that, like, I would feel like my eyes would get hot because the only thing that I have that I can even come close to relating to a gear is like a Virtual Boy. You remember the Virtual Boy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Gear VR itself does not really, something between you and the phone, so like there's some lenses, so it's not really that close to your face. But for those of you who don't know what a Gear VR is, it's like a little visor device that you wear, and you just sort of like plug your phone into the end of it, and the screen, what do you call it when there's like two, it's like a ViewMaster, yeah. Using your phone screen, it can only be like a 4K type display, like a Retina display, but which is a Apple term. But it uses your phone's like gyroscope to detect your movement, and the gear, like the VR headset itself, has like a little directional pad on it. So it's not like super, super, super immersive like the Oculus Rift is, but it also doesn't need a super powerful gaming PC to run it. So it's pretty good. It's like a nice like half step to whatever like the virtual reality future is.
So you're full in. Are you full in on virtual reality being the future now that you've done it?
I can see it. I think it's still very much experimental, and it's still being used by like games and things. That's like, I feel like game technology really like usually is what pushes the envelope. Like if you're a gamer, you don't mind like beaming light into your eyeballs, and you're using something that's kind of powerful anyway. But I can definitely totally see a future where that's, you know, just how you interact with the internet or with your computer is through some sort of a virtual reality.
It's going to be games and porn.
Games and porn.
That's who's going to set it, because I mean that's where the money is, and that's where there are a lot of people that probably work down the hall from you that are single and have large amounts of disposable income. Not that either of those things are prerequisites for gaming or porn.
But a lot of it is.
I'm not saying that there's a causality, but I am saying that there are oftentimes a correlation.
Yes. Yes. So what other kind of non-OS betas are you using?
Well, after you put it on the beta talk section of the outline today, and I had a conversation with some people at co-working yesterday, I have once again downloaded the Polymail app for Mac.
Mm-hmm.
I've been using that since they were in alpha.
Yeah.
And I really like it, but this is the time of year when I go back to sort of all of the dot app, like mail.app, maps.app, things like that.
Yeah.
So I'd been using regular mail, but God, Apple, do something about mail.
I feel like Polymail is sort of trying to be the mailbox replacement.
That was actually why I had the conversation with a guy at co-working yesterday, because it's like, are you using Polymail? He's like, yeah, this is what I had to do once they decided to walk mailbox behind the barn and shoot it.
I like it, but I really want to keep all of my... I have two personal email addresses and one work email address, and the work email address uses like an Exchange server or whatever, so I cannot use that on Polymail. It only takes iCloud and Gmail, which is a pain in the butt. So I could use it separately, but I still have it on my phone, but I'm a little bit embarrassed to say what I use for my mail.
I think we had this conversation already. It's a work requirement, right? Like that's why
it's not
you have
a work
to
requirement,
it.
But it's just easiest. Like, so I'm using the Outlook app.
On iOS or on Mac?
Both. So on iOS, and this may be since we recorded it. I mean, it's been a while since we've talked, but the iOS app is excellent. It's really good.
It's my default. It's what I use.
And it's because Microsoft acquired a small company that like had a really good mail app, and then they acquired Sunrise that had a really good calendar app, and they were like, hey, we should put these together and make it for Outlook. So
I hear you laughing at me. I hear you laughing at me.
Because we're going to talk about Sunrise too. But the iOS app is great, but I don't know why they can't fix their shit for Mac. It's awful. It's so awful. But I require my calendars to be in sync constantly. And the only way to really guarantee that is by using Outlook on Mac to go along with my Outlook on iOS.
Yeah, you sent me a screenshot of your meeting calendars the other day, and dude, I think that you have, I think you put a meeting in your meetings. Like, you have more meetings than anyone, and you know, maybe this is because the vast majority of the people that I work with live in separate time zones and different locales, so I can't actually sit down and meet with them. I did have a meeting at 8 p.m. on July 4th, just because it was when people were going to be in the office.
It was with people who hate America. Because
I'm neither going to confirm nor deny.
They may
it was
listen
not
to
July
this
4th where he was.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was one of our UI designers, and so he and I had to have some conversations about some blog integration stuff. I'm the blog editor now. I didn't mention that. I'm a blog editor, so I'm writing things. So I had to have some conversations with him about some different call to action buttons and some different styling things that we need to do. And the only time we could have that conversation was Tuesday morning for him / Monday night for me, because our office was closed down for the end of Ramadan. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So we had to have that conversation, but that's the first meeting I've like officially set outside of the monthly one-to-one with my boss and our monthly meetings in, oh sweet goodness, 6 weeks. I don't even know.
Nice.
I just don't have meetings, but yeah. I guess if those things are...
I have enough meetings for the both of us.
Yeah, if those things are essential, then you got to have a tool that manages those the right way, and that's one of the things that I struggle with as well, and we should might as well just go ahead and dip into calendars here where we're talking about it, because I don't have the right... Google Calendar in Chrome is still so ugly.
Yeah.
And so barely functional.
Yeah.
And I would love to use, like, I had the older version of BusyCal, which you could tell it was the older version because it looked like it hadn't been updated since, like, OS 10 Lion or something ridiculous
it's
like
been,
that.
Yeah.
They did just update it, by the way. There's a new version, which is great, except for the fact that it's still, even for me as an existing user, $35, which, again, hey, listen, devs got to make their money, you know? I get it.
During the last episode, 11 months ago, we talked about BusyCal, and I think you got a Humble Bundle deal or something.
I did, and that probably was a really good indicator of how invested I was into it. It's just, I would love to use something like BusyCal, or I would really, really like to use Fantastical on both, because I use it on my phone in addition to Outlook, because I can't leave it. I don't like the fact that I can't set notifications for individual calendars on iOS, and we have a main calendar for work that has all of our recurring events, and there are some people that still use that as their main calendar, like for when they set all of their meetings and things, so that other people know when they're available.
Uh-huh.
And I'll remind you, 12-hour difference, so I'm getting notifications at like 8 p.m., midnight, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
Of, you know, this is when the catered lunch is going to be here, this is when we have this scrum for this particular project, and since I can't turn those off, I just have to turn off notifications for that, and I have notifications for select work calendars in Outlook.
Yeah.
So trying to figure out what to do and when to be in certain places, and it's just I can't find a good way to make it work that isn't going to cost me what feels like an arm and a leg and $75.
Mm-hmm. Yep, dev's got a dev.
Hey, I do have an Apple gift card in the mail coming as rewards for one of my for the only credit card that I own. So that'll knock the price down significantly for Fantastical. So I might just bite the bullet and do that and see if that works.
Yeah.
I was using Sunrise, which I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
It was wonderful. It's great. It's spectacular.
It's dead.
It's dead. Yeah. We should call it Sunset.
Sunset. Sunrise has been sunsetted.
Sunrise has been sunset because, as Andy alluded to earlier in the episode, they were purchased by Microsoft. Good for them.
Yeah.
They bought up. Who else did they buy up? Was Boxer the email app that they bought up?
I never used it. I don't remember what it's called.
I used whoever they had before, and it was a good mail app too. It might not have been Boxer. It was something that was similar to that. One of the first ones to use like mail scheduling and some of the really cool swipe actions and ways to differentiate things like that. I really like that mail app. I really, really loved Sunrise. It was great both in a Chrome wrapper and as a standalone on Mac, and when I was using the Windows PCs back in the before time. I really like Sunrise, and it incorporates with Trello, which is what I'm kind of trying to use for to-dos right now. That's another conversation that we'll have to revisit again, because, of course, we've changed to-do systems. I have, at least. And then I'm like, yes, this is all finally working. This is great. I can see all my to-dos in one spot. I can see all my different calendars. It doesn't hurt my eyeballs to look at it. And then I get the pop-up that's like, we've already taken this out of the App Store. And on August 31st, if you don't find something else to do, don't plan on making your meetings.
See ya. Yeah.
So, yep. So calendars are my new to-do systems.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? I'm kind of up a creek and nothing works. That's the problem, is nothing works exactly the way I want it to.
Yeah.
And I can't even... I know people now, though. Like, I know front-end, back-end designer people. Maybe I should be like, hey, guys, I got an idea.
Yep.
Let's just work on this calendar thing. I promise we'll be the only people that have a calendar app on the market like this. I promise. It's definitely not a saturated market.
Yeah.
Guys, no, don't walk away from the hangouts since you're on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
Oh.
What else are you trying out?
What am I trying out? I have the Slack beta. I like this. I can unlock this. I can unlock my iPhone here, and I can tell you what has an orange dot next to it, which on my home screen is only the Slack beta. I'm in love with Slack. I did some UX research for them back in January, and they are just a solid, well-rounded team of wonderful individuals.
Yeah.
I really like all of them, and I have Slack socks now. So
I'm so jealous.
How
did you get Slack socks from the?
Because
from
I did
being
the
in the research.
Yeah, because I did the research. They did not pay nearly as well as Google did for Google's UX research. But then again, Slack didn't come into my home.
Yeah.
Google did bring three people into my home to talk to me about election stuff and blah blah blah. I can't say anymore. Non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah.
So I did some stuff with Slack. That's the only beta I'm running on there now, and I don't even know that I'm running anything that would be considered beta stuff on my... That's the thing, is I just have a hard time running beta stuff on the MacBook because I worry that things are going to fall apart.
Yeah.
And that I won't be able to do my work. I did get an invitation/proposition to use a markdown writing app from somebody at work today, and it is... I don't know that... I think coincidental is the word to use here, not ironic. Coincidental is the word to use here because it is the one that I had asked you about in our write-up here with the bear, the bear on it.
Yeah.
What is that?
I tried that out. It's nice. It's kind of...
Is it called Bear?
It's called Bear. It's made by Shiny Frog.
Just one singular shiny frog in the forest.
You know the shiny frog, right? Like that's Hypnotoad?
It's in Hypnotoad's cousin.
All glory to the shiny frog.
All glory to shiny frog.
It's all right. It's like your standard like writing app that you know has a big composer window on the right and like a list of files on the left. It's like every single other one. They're working on kind of simultaneously on a Mac app and a iOS app. So I'm using both. They can't on their Mac app. They cannot integrate with iCloud quite yet, so I can't like sync files between them.
They don't have the Dropbox integration?
No. I think they're going to be iCloud only. At least in this beta they are. And it's nice. It looks really nice, and it is Markdown, but it's not like hardcore Markdown. It's more of like, you know, Markdown is just like styling your text rather than like building tables and crap in Markdown like a lot of people do.
As I was composing a blog post in the past couple of months, I looked for a way to create a table and was like, oh, I can do this in Markdown, and then was like, oh wait, this is ugly.
Yeah.
There's no way I can make this work.
You could do it in Markdown, but it's awful to try to like hold in your head.
My favorite part is when I'm perusing Reddit on my phone and someone has used a Markdown table in a Reddit comment.
Yeah.
Because it renders on the desktop browser just fine, but if I'm looking at it through like Narwhal, which is the Reddit app that I'm using, I have to like piece it together because of the way that it's using the lines and the underlining and things. And
just like, nerd.
I'm like, oh my God, how do my eyeballs work? Yeah. And I know that there's a bot that made it because no one has the patience to actually make a real Markdown table.
It's like, why are you using a table and a Reddit comment anyway? Like, there's no need for that.
No. Like, congratulations, you've really taken it up a notch. Here's your nerd badge.
Yeah.
And that's coming from me.
So there's Bear. That's all right. It's not anything standout.
I love my IA writer.
I'm looking forward to when notes become shareable.
Yeah, I was going to see if you were going to download some of the betas. I was wondering maybe we would do a shared note for this episode.
Maybe eventually when the betas get a little better, or I just kind of wait until I see what people at work are doing. And if it seems like they're trying it out, then I'll jump on the bandwagon.
Two things about notes still driving me nuts. One, font size. Sweet goodness, font size is tiny. Two, why did we get rid of the, was it skeuomorphism? Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
Where you make things look like, why do we get rid of it everywhere except for the background and notes?
The writing surface itself? Yeah. It's like, oh yeah, we're going to a flat design except for the textured paper that's on your notes.
Thanks for pointing out precisely how old I am and how bad my vision is, Apple. I really appreciate that.
Johnny, I was like, I have the vision of a 13-year-old.
Yes.
That was an awful, awful accent. While we're kind of talking about writing things, maybe we should mention Evernote.
Oh, yeah.
People are mad. The internet is mad at Evernote.
Notes is a thing that I transitioned kind of into out of Evernote. I haven't really been a big Evernote user for a while, but Notes kind of when it was revitalized for, was it iOS 9? It was cool because now you can throw PDFs and images in there, and there's not really a tagging thing, and there's not really a folder structure, but, you know, so you just, you know, make a manual tag and search for it that way and all of that, and now it's doing sharing, and so there's a lot of cool things you can do with it, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, maybe I can finally take the auto-logging features that I'm doing out of Evernote and put it somewhere else, and then Evernote went and did some, I don't... There are a lot of horrible phrases I can use for this decision.
You put an explicit tag on this episode?
Oh yes, already.
They fucked it up. Is what they
did. They did. Andy wrote it into our outline as: Do you have opinions on Evernote's new premium shit plan? And I responded: Do we? Why wouldn't we? Of course we have opinions about these things.
Yeah, so I think the biggest one that matters to me and matters to a lot of people is the free plan now is limited to 2 devices per account. I think they probably count on a lot of people having 3 devices. You know, they have your phone, your computer, and your iPad. Or, you know, in Android terms, your phone, your computer, and your tablet.
Or your phone and your work computer and your home computer.
Yeah, yeah. And so I believe also they limited the like bandwidth of uploads per month. I think they reduced that, which like was mostly fine with me. I only like kept some images in there. But 2 devices per account is really what like screws me. So I still have some stuff in Evernote, but I just need to get it out of it and put it somewhere else.
There are ways to do that. You can either export from Notes into Evernote or export from Evernote into Notes.
I need to do that, yeah.
I think the latter. Friend of the show, Jake Bilbray, probably knows a way to handle that,
yeah,
to be honest.
Hi, Jake.
I think he was the person who kind of sent me that direction in the first place, and I tried it. I think he did so with varying results, but that was months ago. So hopefully things have gone a little bit better. Yeah, they also, if you're paying for it, they also up the prices,
yeah,
which seems... And before we go into that, did you get your Netflix email about your Netflix price going up? Have you?
Oh, no. I mean, I think it's under Katie's account, so she may have gotten the email.
It's going from $7.99 to $9.99 for those of you that were graduated in under the, or grandfathered in under the $7.99 plan. Because I don't know if I'm going to be able to afford that extra $2 a month, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But $2 a month is about what, no, is exactly what Evernote has jumped up in pricing as well. The plus tiers from, oh, the plus tiers only went up $1. From $3 a month to $4, and then the premium went from $5 to $7,
which,
hey, subscription model. I don't know. That makes me feel bad. I was listening to the most recent episode of Connected, which I had not done in a while. That's not something that sits in my podcast queue very often because I don't have as much time to listen to podcasts as I used to. But Stephen and Mike were talking about kind of the changes in the whole Evernote pricing structure and how this was one of the first sort of unicorn companies that was valued over $1 billion and how it might be, you know, one of the first ones to fail. Because at this point, you only kind of bump up prices if things are going badly.
Yeah. And I mean, they've had some executive turnover and they've had some layoffs. So things have been going badly. I commute right past their office every day.
And you don't see like fires or anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, nothing has been on fire so far, but like physically on fire at least.
There's no fires, there's no picketers, you don't like see people outside with panhandling. I used to work for Evernote, please help me afford my premium plan, that kind of thing.
Right, yeah, none of that I can tell.
I haven't used it very much anymore. I guess, like I said, I was using it as like an auto logger for things that I just had if this then that tossed into. But I think day one, two can do stuff like that now. I have to figure out how to get that set up.
I import my Instagram accounts or my Instagram posts into day one, two which
okay.
I'm sorry, that's a stupid name, guys. Like, get it together. But I still use it. I like it a lot. It's still maybe one of the most beautiful apps that I have ever used.
I should have pulled the trigger on buying it for Mac when it was on sale back at the beginning. I just wait and see if it'll happen again. Because
it usually happens a couple times a year.
Well, I tell myself, I'm not going to, I'll just journal on my phone or whatever. But the amount of enjoyment that I get typing on a computer keyboard versus typing on an iOS keyboard is giant. The keyboard's better, but it's still not very good.
If you were forced to only have one Apple device, what would it be? Would it be the Mac? Would it be the iPhone? Or would it be an iPad?
Yeah, it would definitely be my Mac. Okay, I love my Mac.
Me too.
Yeah. I mean, I would probably go back to like a 13-inch MacBook Air, which this 13-inch MacBook Pro is great. I don't regret not getting the 15-inch. I went with the 13-inch Pro just because I really like this Retina screen, but I don't necessarily miss the Retina-ness of it when I help Elizabeth with stuff on the Air. I do like the portability of it. I mean, I like that that this Mac is a little more future-proof.
Yeah. Did you read that they're probably never going to update the Air again?
Oh, that's because it'll be phased out just by the MacBook.
Yeah, the MacBook, or either the MacBook will get beefed up, or the MacBook Pro will be maybe reduced in like size, like physical size.
Yeah, well, I guess that makes sense. And I say all of this without having tried out any of the iPads Pro with any of their requisite tools and pencils and keyboards and things, which, I mean, I guess I would like to do. I think that there's a lot to be said about the maturity of the iOS system and how it is allowing people to do a lot of work, and it works out for it does really well for a lot
of
people.
It's great, but I think it doesn't beat the maturity of Mac OS and like everything. I mean, there's no way we can record this podcast on iOS.
Oh, I don't know about there's no way. There are ways. I feel like Fraser Spears and Federico try to do it on a regular basis.
Really? Okay. I'm a little behind, but
I feel like there's a way, but I know that because I think Jason Snell recorded from on the road via his iPad at one point, but it's by no means as easy as plugging things in and just getting set.
Yeah. CGP Gray bought a MacBook just so he could record while he was traveling to San Francisco.
One of your many new internet close and personal friends.
Yes. Oh yes. We're very close. I've seen his face.
Yeah. You and about seven other people, and six of those other people are dead.
Right.
He is. It works for CGP Gray. It's working out well for Mike Hurley and Federico, and they're doing it all really well. But I just, and most of the stuff that I do is not remarkably processor heavy. It's not like I edit graphics or beyond this do any audio or visual editing of any kind. Most of what I do is within a Chrome browser or within a Markdown processor, and both of those, they make great versions of both of those for iOS. But I just don't. I don't see myself leaving a full-fledged computer. I really like the way it works.
Yeah. Should we get back on track and talk about writing tools?
Yeah, we can jump a little bit more into that. You're apparently using Quip more.
I am. We use that at work as sort of like our...
As your not Google Docs?
As our not Google Docs. And it's starting to become like a real product. Like it was always sort of like Google Docs, but stripped down. And nothing had really ever updated for very long. Everything was a little buggy. And all of a sudden, they had like two major product releases within like a month of each other. I was like, look at you guys like getting on a regular like feature release schedule. And really, like the thing that really, really changed my life, and it seems ridiculous to say, but all of a sudden, I could format individual text within a spreadsheet, and I could split and merge cells. And that was just like mind blowing. Like, yay! It's like now you can do what every single other Word like spreadsheet app can do. Yeah, that made my life a lot easier.
Yeah, I forget that. I guess you spend a lot of time. I spend more time in spreadsheets than I used to. So I guess since you work for a larger company,
I don't do a lot of like formulations and numbers and stuff in spreadsheets. But I use tables and cells a lot for like structured content and like tables and conditional conditions and things like that I write. So. Yeah, I don't use it for like traditional spreadsheet uses, but I do use it a lot for like structuring words.
It's well organized.
Yeah.
I do like the whole, I can put something in columns and rows and things like that. And then I'll make a really nice spreadsheet and then be forced to share it with people at work. And then I go back in and look at it a week and a half later and all of my conditional formatting is just shot. Like I was using this as a heat map, folks. We're trying to track traffic with the red and the green and everything in between. You can't just throw a random number outside of the scope in here.
Yeah.
I just went on a rant about conditional formatting. Someone should probably shoot me. We can talk about analog for a second.
Sure, yeah, since absolutely. Since
that's half, supposedly half of the podcast.
Allegedly, yeah.
You're still doing that other podcast, right?
It's still happening. Erasable. We've changed now. We only talk about erasable pens. So.
Oh, that's new.
No, just kidding. We actually just had June Thomas on, she's a writer for Slate, and she's a big pencil user. She's pretty fantastic. We had like a series of sponsorships by CW Pencils, which is pretty awesome. We're almost like a legitimate podcast now, as opposed to this podcast, which is illegitimate.
We are illegitimate. We're the bastard podcast.
Yeah.
You guys are approaching, how many episodes you guys at now?
We just had our 55th episode. So.
That is a significant number of episodes.
Yeah. So what are you typically writing in and writing with nowadays?
I find myself still going back to, and I completely blame you and your cohorts for this, I still find myself going back to preferring to write with a pencil. Just about all the time.
Yeah.
My brother got me a spectacular pen for Christmas. I have a Twisby Echo that I really, really like, but I just don't have a reason to write in pen as often anymore.
Yeah.
So like I sharpened up a General Semi-Hex the other day because I really like it, and I'm still... I have these, I think these are Mead notebooks. No, they're 5-star. I have these 5-star quadrule notebooks that I still have from when I was teaching that I really like because I like graph paper.
Yeah.
So I still write in that on a regular basis because, again, columns and rows. I like things to be organized and things like that. That being said, there have been, I still have all of the notebooks that I purchased in my, we'll call it my heyday.
Yeah,
back when you and I forged our friendship, when I was just getting into the whole stationery world, it's something I'm still very interested in. I have a lot of wonderful notebooks of varying sizes that I would like to use, and then I see, you know, I follow like Scout Books on Instagram, and I follow Field Notes, and obviously I follow Baron Fig because I'm a huge fan of all their stuff, and actually got some people at work to use Baron Fig products.
Nice.
It was a combination of myself and Mike Rohde because we had him. On as one of the guests for one of the things that we did at work, and he talked about how much he liked Baron Fig stuff. So we got a couple people that work on some Baron Fig things. And they are, I feel like they come out with a new notebook approximately every 4.5 days. It seems like every time I turn around, they're announcing something new or a new pen or something else.
Adam just sent me some of the new Vanguard notebooks. They're pretty great.
Oh, that reminds me. Speaking of new notebooks, I need to get your opinion on the new Field Notes flip tops, because I know you're a flip top fan.
Oh yeah, Reporter's notepads are the new hotness. I'm actually, for just some edit notes, I'm using the Write Notepads Reporter's Notebook. But so the same day, Field Notes released their summer 2016 edition, and it was a Reporter's Notepad. So it's a little bit bigger, 7 inches tall by like 4 or 5 inches wide. I can't remember. And on the same day, Write Notepads, which is a Baltimore-based notepad company, they released a Reporter's Notepad as part of like their regular lineup, just completely coincidentally. So the Field Notes ones are great. They're very well designed. They're not useful. They would not be useful for being like real actual Reporter's Notepads. Like they're a little too flimsy. They have like the cover like flips over the spiral, which is great because it protects the spiral. A lot of former Reporter's Notepads, you know, the spiral would come undone and then you would just stick yourself with the wire. So that's great for that, but it also means that you can't just like flip the cover back and set it on your desk. It just kind of like hangs out. So you have to kind of flip it up, but you can't flip it back down behind, which you can with the Write Notepads one. So, I don't know yet which I prefer. I'm not a reporter anymore, so I don't like carry one around with me all the time. But I think I like the Write Notepads one a little bit better.
You got to root for the underdog. I mean, I feel like Write Notepads is a pet favorite of your other podcast because of Johnny's locale to Baltimore and everything else.
Yeah, it's a Baltimore-based company. They do amazing work. Like they have a quarterly release as well. They have a membership and they produce little pocket notepads, but what's different about those is that they are perfect bound instead of staple bound, like saddle stitched, I guess is what you call it with like the Field Notes. But so the Write Notepads are perfect bound, and the new editions are just completely gorgeous. It's so lovely. They're made out of Butcher Orange paper by French Paper Company, which is, you know, the same paper as the first Field Notes Colors edition. So these are Butcher Orange as well. And just as kind of like, I think, a little joke or a nod, 25 of the 2,500 notebooks are made out of Butcher Blue.
Oh, wow.
So just sort of like randomly placed throughout the packs, people got like a Butcher Blue notebook in their pack of like of three Butcher Oranges. So I love that. I think that's just hilarious. And it's just a good nod to Field Notes, I think. Because, I mean, Field Notes is sort of the original quarterly notebook release, of which there are now, well, I guess one of them is a pencil release, but the quarterly stationery release, which is now a big thing, not just Field Notes.
Yeah, I got my wife on the Word notebooks that their quarterly release was, I guess, back... Oh, I guess it was back in the winter, maybe going in. No, it was their spring release because it happened right towards the end of winter because it came with a Declan cloth.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, I'm going to order this because she's almost out of notebooks because she carries one or two in her purse on a regular basis. She's still using the, I'm trying to remember the stationery company that we won the giveaway for. She's still using that with the monogram on the front.
Annotated.
I think is what it is.
Anointed, yeah. Anointed.
Anointed. Anointed. Whatever. Anointed would be great. Yeah, no, she's still using that on a regular basis, and that's holding up really well. That's the other, that's like my backup notebook that I carry in my bag. That paper's super soft and super rich. I really like it. She's using that, but she carries the little ones, and I saw that these Word notebooks were coming up. They do really cool work, too. Their summer release.
Their new ones for the summer were just gorgeous. It's not my particular style. I would probably not carry it around, but I love that art. It's done in the style of like some street art and some like tattoo art, things like that.
Yeah, they're really, really cool.
Gorgeous.
But the spring ones that were available were kind of with a black background and had kind of a floral print to them, and I knew she would really dig them, so got that and kept the Declan cloth for myself. So now I have a...
Your wife is a stylish lady.
Well, it comes along with the work that she does. So she has good taste in things. So really proud of her. She's got has had some cool clients since the last time we talked, and had some really cool projects coming up. So that's going really well too. This will be my regular part of the podcast where I talk about how great my wife is. Not that I'm in a hurry to move on from that, but I doubt that's why people tune in. So you're wonderful, dear. I love you. And now we're moving on.
What I'm writing with lately, I guess, is did you do the Timber Twist Kickstarter?
No, I haven't. I've never kickstarted a thing.
Oh, okay. It's all right.
I feel like it's one of those things that I would kickstart something and then immediately feel like the rush and feel like I needed to kickstart something again.
I understand. Yeah, it's once you start, you can't stop.
I have an addictive personality. It's why I can't do scratchers and why I can't smoke anymore. That and the lung cancer. But
what's a scratcher?
Like a scratch off lottery ticket?
Oh, yeah, like that.
Yeah. So the addictive personality does not lend well to Kickstarter or Indiegogo or other things where I would not only be getting stuff, I'd feel like I'd be. I can part myself with $10, $15, $30, whatever. I'm helping people accomplish their dreams.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the Timber Twist is a kind of the second round of twist bullet pencils that John Fontaine from Metal Shop has done. We talk about it ad nauseum on Erasable. But his latest one, instead of kind of an aluminum body, it has a wood barrel on it. Like mine is made out of a really beautiful like sanded walnut. And it is just gorgeous, and it feels great, and it's so great. It's I think Tim Wassum said that it's like maybe his favorite piece of stationery that he has.
Wow.
Which is saying something, because Tim has a lot.
Yeah.
as do all of us. But it's super great. It's so fantastic. I love it a lot.
I may have to look into that. He's gonna sell them in the shop now that he's got everything kickstarted.
I think they're already up there. Yeah.
All right, I'll need to look into that, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes if anybody like me has not heard of these things but is now super intrigued.
Yeah, so that's great. I was writing a little bit the other day. There's a book that we have not talked about on this show. You know who has talked about this book, though, is Harry Marx.
The great and wonderful Harry Marx, and The Street
Which
Continues.
Which we have to mention because...
We're contractually obligated.
Exactly. So there's this book called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up.
I have that book.
Well, I am not good at tidying up. There's a part in there about, like, you know, only keep the items that, like, spark joy for you. And I was writing a little bit about some of the stationery products that I have that like specifically spark joy. And one of them are these really great little wooden pencils that I got from CW Pencils called, they're an Indian company. It's called Nataraj, N-A-T-A-R-A-J. And they're called Pop Pencils. And they just have some really like beautiful, quirky candy colors. And it's a really good pencil too. It's 2B, so it's a little bit darker and smoother. And I just love using it. I don't know why, but I really love it. So unfortunately, CW Pencils is not going to sell those pencils anymore because they're kind of hard to source if you're not in India. So I'm going to definitely like treasure the ones that I have. But we should, at some point, we should talk about, because we have talked about clutter before, right?
Oh, did we? Yes, an entire episode when shortly after your move, or certain, I don't even remember, before I was thinking about moving, about all of the things.
Yeah, we could, we talked a little bit about that. We talked a little bit about, like, digital clutter. So we don't necessarily need to rehash that, but it's definitely an exercise I try to do is, like, think about if I just get joy out of, like, something. And if I do, like, keep it around, right?
Right.
But if I don't, you know, maybe it's a necessity. Maybe it's, like, tax forms or something I really hate having to use. But there's a lot of junk that I have that just don't spark joy. That's what I'm saying.
No, I get you. I did the whole thing. I read the book right before we moved into this house, and which was good because we moved from a house that was a little over 2,000 square feet to one that was a little under 900. And so there was a lot of things that we needed to not have.
We're considering moving up into San Francisco proper within the next few months. We're not sure of that yet, but if we do that, like even as much as I reduced moving to the Bay Area, I would probably need to reduce even more moving up there.
You smaller spaces still?
Smaller spaces still. My apartment down on the peninsula, like it's not really any cheaper than like a San Francisco apartment, but you do get a few more amenities, like washers and dryers and dishwashers and stuff like in the apartment. Just because, and this is like a unit, like it's kind of a cookie cutter place, so it's boring, but it's roomy.
Okay. Well, I mean,
yeah.
You know, you got to do what's best for the family, but if you got to if you got to get rid of some stuff, I'm sure you wouldn't be the first person in your area to decide that it was time to kind of cut things up a little bit and get rid of some stuff.
Cool. Yeah, that's kind of what I'm writing with and writing on. I'm trying to think if there's anything else like along that line to talk about.
Yeah, we've always kind of leaned a little more digital than analog, unfortunately, for the analog fans. But there are a couple of really great analog podcasts out there. Erasable comes to mind.
Yeah, that's a good one. I know something we can talk about.
Ooh, hit me.
Our friend of the show, Aaron Draplin, has a book that has come out.
Yes, that is true. That's actually one of the features of the blog post I'm writing for my blog for the blog that I write for now next week. It was the first book, because I'm doing a post on 20 great design books, and that was the first one that came to mind.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's written just like Aaron Draplin wrote it, and he writes everything just in his like authentic voice. And this is like on point with that. It is a whole book written in the voice of Aaron Draplin. And he does a lot of like collecting his junk and sitting it like spreading it out and arranging it nicely and then taking a picture of it. So you can just like look through his designs. And I just found myself staring at a page for forever. It was fantastic. It's a really great book. I ordered the separate slipcover, the bright orange slipcover that he produced for the book that should be on its way pretty soon.
It's called Noling, and it's actually on our list of super secret topics that we may want to talk about if we ever drink and do a podcast again.
Noling?
Yeah, K-N-O-L-L-I-N-G.
What is that?
The thing that you were talking about arranging things and taking really nice pictures of them.
Oh, I didn't know that's what it was called.
Yeah, that's a term. I know, because I was checking our list of top secret podcast topics that we want to talk about at some point, whatever people are not thinking that they're going to hear about just analog and digital things. And Noling was on it, and I didn't remember what it was, and so I had to look it up.
I didn't realize there was a word for that. That's awesome.
Oh yeah, there are some awesome Noling tumblers out there. For those of you that are into Tumblr land. Yeah.
Man, I'm real into Noling tumblers right now.
Hey, you know what? You laugh. Do you know where I learned that there were great Noling tumblers out there? The one and only Merlin Mann.
Oh. Is that like the same thing as like things arranged neatly?
Yes.
.tumblr.com?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I do love me a good things arranged neatly.
Yeah. So, yeah, knolling is the same kind of thing. That was actually where I learned that knolling was even a word, was through an episode of Back to Work. So it's all full circle.
Do you subscribe to the oddly satisfying subreddit?
I do now.
Oh, man, you're going to love it. It's the same sort of ideas, like things that are sorted and arranged nicely, but it's sort of like scratches that like little internal itch to have something arranged nicely. It's like, oh, hey, like this, like look at this guy scraping paint off of like a car fender or whatever.
Right.
Or like, look at this person like spreading asphalt on a parking lot. Or like, look at this person who is like machining a piece of aluminum. It's pretty great.
That's why I'm not great. That's why I'm not great at painting. Like painting rooms. I'm not good at painting art wise either, but I'm really not good at painting rooms because I want to be really meticulous about it. And there are some things that you just kind of got to realize that there's going to be a second coat. That's super meta, by the way. There's always going to be a second coat, man. So that's why I kind of, I'm sitting in the office that we're going to be painting here in the next couple of days, and thinking about it makes me go, oh, because I want to, like, I don't know. This is getting super meta about painting rooms and things like that, but I never feel like I'm doing a good enough job of painting, like, clean lines and evenly and things like that. I always feel like I'm going to mess something up. And it's so important. It is, and Elizabeth has a considerably higher standard for these things than I do because, you know, the whole styling and everything else, and I have what they call generalized apathy. Generalized apathy. So that's there's a little bit of a conflict there. But yeah, the knolling is definitely something that I'm going to have to get that book now. I should have got it when it was on sale too. This is going to be a recurring theme, I think. Things Will should have decided to get when they were on sale.
But you know what? Generalized apathy. So
yeah, whatever. I mean, hey, you know what? It's
you know, insidious. You say you have generalized apathy. I don't really care.
Oh, what else is on this list we need to talk about? Let's see. We talked about Quip. We can hold Mark down for another time because
I have a Bitmoji now.
You do, and it looks the only thing that I wish about this Bitmoji, which obviously will very much be in the show notes, is I wish that you were like super tall in comparison to the words that are along with it.
I was sitting at dinner the other night, and my coworker, who is a product designer, who's like a professional designer, he and another coworker was like give me your phone. So I said oh, I've tried Bitmoji and I don't really like it because I can't really make one that looks like me. And Cody's just like, give it to me, I'll take care of that. And so like for the next 15 minutes they just like would like look at my phone and then like look at me and then look at my phone and look at me, and 15 minutes later, this guy.
Hey dude,
I shouldn't assume that everybody here knows what Bitmoji is.
That was why I said, hey dude, because I was gonna be like, what is Bitmoji?
So imagine if you just had a little like extra keyboard on your iPhone and it had a little like cartoon. Okay, no, this is a better way. Do you remember in like 2013 maybe, do you remember Bitstrips on Facebook? Everybody did freaking Bitstrips.
Nope.
So you could design a little character, your little Bitmoji character that kind of looks like you. You could select from like a character builder, and it's a little cartoon thing. And you could connect it to Facebook, and you and your like friend who also has this thing, Bitstrips, could put yourselves in little like cartoon situations. So like little cartoon Andy and little cartoon Will could be like hanging out, and Andy could be like trying to read, and Will could be trying to like talk to him, and Andy could be annoyed, or I don't know, something like that. It just puts you in these little like funny situations every day.
I like that it was reading and it wasn't a podcast recording session.
Right, yeah. It's
something we actually do. I don't pester you while you read.
So yeah, you just have like a little shared funny thing among your friends, and it was annoying because I felt like every single person on my newsfeed back then did that. Well, they've since diversified, and now you can take the little cartoon image of you and just like make little like reaction stickers. Like it's not really a GIF, like a little cartoon with words like take it easy or bye Felicia or something like that, whatever. So I've never really done it because it's dumb. A, it's dumb, and B, like I couldn't make something that looked like me. So at least B has been solved.
It's dumb and you're not artistic is what you're trying to say.
Right, yeah. So I now have a little behoodied Andy character that looks like me.
Well, I will stack that up next to my new avatar. Have you seen my new avatar?
Yes, it's excellent.
Oh, I'm really excited about it. We use Bonusly at work, which is a way to give micro bonuses to individuals on the team. It's, you know, super startup culture-y. To give micro bonuses to people on the team when they do things that are great or things that are super helpful that are not necessarily something that they're required to do for work, and I cashed mine in for a reward which I have since learned they are no longer offering.
Oh, here's a chance when you got in, like,
right
on time.
I got this when it was still on sale, literally being sold. So I had the opportunity to work with one of our designers at work to have a vector-based avatar created of me and our designer. Mock, I think, did an absolutely wonderful job because it is not just me holding a video game controller, which is a thing that I like to do, but she also took a couple of the photos that I had of the dogs and made three really, really excellent representations of all three of my dogs in the avatar with me. That'll be up in the show notes for those of you who never look at show notes. Now you have two reasons to. You can
look at some dogs.
Look at some dogs. And me holding an avatar-based video game controller, and Andy pointing a finger and saying, "Take it easy." With
"Take it easy,"
remarkably good shadowing involved.
What's amazing is that the shoes that I'm wearing in this are like exactly like the shoes that I was wearing when they were putting this together for me.
Are these the aforementioned bomb-ass new shoes that you thought you had to put into the? I'm not even going to lie. I saw you throw this up in the outline today. I was like, these must be some pretty fucking great shoes.
They're not that great. They're just some gray Adidas shoes that are, what do you call it? You know how that new like woven shoe is like in right now?
Dude, we've had this conversation.
It's not really cool among like cool people. It's like new sneaker material that's like a mesh.
You mean it's technologically advanced in a scientifically significant way?
Yes, and then they adapted it for these shoes, which cost $60 at Designer Shoe Warehouse. So, yes, it's a much more breathable Adidas, like standard Adidas shoe that with the three stripes that I really like the look of, but never bought. So, no, that I have no idea why I put that in there, except I just wanted to say bomb ass shoes.
They're very well showcased in your new Bitmoji.
and they didn't even know that I was wearing those shoes when they were putting this together because we were all sitting down at a table.
This is the picture that I saw on Facebook of you with like 17,000 other people at a table.
Yes, yes.
And there was 15 minutes taken out of this company dinner to draw you as a Bitmoji.
Yes.
With a phrase that I assume you use on a regular basis. Take it easy. That's a thing
I do
you
not
say, right?
Take it easy that often. I don't think so.
That would have been so much better if they had done a phrase that you say on a regular basis, like buy more pencils or I don't know, whatever Andy say.
What do I say?
Do you
I say a lot, which is probably not good.
My wife has gotten on to me a lot recently because I'm saying word now, you know, like they did back in the 90s.
Yeah. Word. You know what I'm saying right now, which is not good at all, is hella, because I live in California now.
Because you got some hella bomb-ass new shoes.
I got hella bomb-ass new shoes. So here's what happens, and I'm sure there have been better articles than me, like people than me writing about this, but you start saying something like as a joke. And then all of a sudden, you just catch yourself saying it, like, non-ironically.
Yep.
Like, I remember back in 2006, my sister started saying, "I know, right?" And I was like, what the hell does that even mean? And then I would say it. And then just, like, a couple years later, I was, "I know," writing all over the place.
I do it with word. I do it with "yeah, no." We've had the "yeah, no" conversation. Yeah, yeah, no, 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 listen, yeah, yeah. my wife got on to me really bad. We were, I think we were talking to, I guess we were just out somewhere and we had a server and I was like, "Oh, okay. Yeah. Word." And she was like, "No, stop that. From now on, anytime you want to say word, just say, okay." And I was like, okay. And I want to say I'm trying, but I'm really not.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's hella hard.
It is hella hard to just stop being like word. everything comes around, Andy. It's all full circle.
Yeah. We should let these poor people listening go.
Yeah, because you've been listening to us for a hella long time.
Hella bomb has long time. That doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
I don't know at this point if we are ready to commit to like when we will be returning.
To another time frame because we haven't talked about this yet. Yeah, we're all getting ready to travel all around the world.
I'm traveling to Indiana. You're traveling around the world.
Well, no, you're going to Vancouver. That's a thing.
It's not that far from here, though.
You were in Peru and London since we last spoke.
I was in Lima, and a good, I think when you get back, a good episode that we could do is about travel.
Yeah, that'll be something that I'll be able to speak more about.
We talked about it a little bit with Aaron Draplin, which is actually pretty awesome. He talked about his, when he's like traveling, which he does a lot of in hotels, but yeah, we should definitely talk about that.
Cause I'm getting ready to travel around the world. Now I want to preface this by saying that in the past, I don't know, in the past probably dozen years, I have been on a plane maybe six times, maybe not a dozen years, maybe like 6 to 8 years. I flew to Nashville from Portland when we lived in Portland once. I flew out to Denver, and then I also flew to Baltimore, both for gifted student conferences while I was a teacher, and that was essentially all the travel I had ever done. And since we recorded the episode, our most recent episode, 11 months ago, I have scheduled and then rescheduled a trip to Malaysia. I have purchased tickets for my wife and I to both go to the Maldives, which is, if you haven't been, you should probably go because it's, due to global warming, not going to be there in 20 years. And, oh yeah, I'm going to Denver at the beginning of August too. So now I'm going to put on more frequent, I'm going to put more frequent flyer miles onto a frequent flyer account. See, I don't even know how these things work.
And then you're going to come, you're going to use that to come out and hang out in San Francisco.
That's going to be a thing that we're definitely going to do. I don't know. We're talking about making a,
we can record a live episode.
Talking about coming west for Christmas, because neither of us really are attached to, we like to do a kind of our own thing for Christmas, so yeah. We're talking about maybe hopping on I-40 and just driving until we run out of road.
That would be fun.
Which would be somewhere near the west coast.
Yeah.
Unless we make a really drastic turn into the Grand Canyon, you would run out of road there too, and you would find out very quickly. But yeah, I've only ever been
stop at the end.
I've only ever been as far out as New Mexico, and I was, I think, 15 or 16 when we did that. So,
yeah.
Elizabeth would really like to come out and do, like, Palm Springs and some cool stuff out towards Vegas and things like that. She lived in L.A. for a while, so she knows a little bit more about the southern west coast than I do. So we're talking about doing that. So if not with the frequent flyer miles, maybe sometime in the near future, because this is going to happen. Yeah. I work remote now. Whether I work remote from Nashville or work remote from San Mateo, they don't care.
Yeah. Well, the trouble would be is we're going east for Christmas probably. So if somehow we don't like get a chance to meet up, you could just come stay at my house.
Yeah, it's literally the best Airbnb accommodations we can think of. Because you just leave us a key and hope we show up. That's how Airbnb works, right?
That's how it goes, yeah.
I think so. I don't even know. But yeah, we'll let you lovely listeners get on to the rest of your lives. Thank you so much for coming back and hanging out with us after our extended break. If you were interested
we didn't go on break. We're just doing season. We just stopped for the season.
Season
we're like
two.
HBO. Yeah.
Right here. And we took the longest break we possibly could without actually becoming canceled and alienating everybody else in the entire world. Seriously, though, thank you for those of you that have decided that you are going to come back and listen to the podcast again. It means a lot to us. We obviously don't do this for the money. I do it because I like to hear myself talk.
Yeah. Remember that one time we got $5 through our cash tag?
Hey, we got $25 to the cash tag because we got nice. $5 at one point, and then we got $20 at another point. Thank you to all of you who donated in the past. Hopefully we're, you know, hey, I'm still paying to host the site every month. Yes, I will be perfectly honest with you. It is my self-employment business site with .grid on the back end. But if you go to .grid.xyz, it pulls up the feed for all of the stuff here.
I know this is last minute. Can I brag about the domain that I bought?
Speaking of amazing domains. All of them? You went on a domain buying spree.
I did. But the best one is andy.coffee.
That's you.
That's me. So if you go to that, it hits my Medium channel.
Oh, you linked it up to the Medium?
Yeah.
Not bad.
I decided finally to do that. Because part of it, I wanted to try out the custom domain mapping on Medium. Mm-hmm. Works really well. But yeah, andy.coffee. Yeah.
Yeah, it's there.
Take that, every other person named Andy.
Yeah, who likes coffee.
Yeah.
And is interested in custom TLDs.
Every other dirty hipster named Andy who likes coffee.
I live in East Nashville. There's at least six, like, on my block, I think.
I'm sure.
Andy was popular in the time that you and I were in that time. In that, when we were born.
I had three other Andys in my class growing up.
Oh. I went to a group meeting recently, and there were four other Wills in there, and I was like, I haven't met this many Wills in a long time. Anyway,
yeah.
Dotgrid.xyz is how
do people find you on the internet?
Me on the internet? I'm a hermit. I don't know how to use the internet. No, I'm on the internet all the time. I'm on Twitter, twitter.com, Will Fangy, W-I-L-L-F as in Frank, A-N-G-U-Y. You now have to find something else to use for the F in Wellfly. Good luck.
Oh, yeah. Well, I, for example, am on Twitter as A Wellfly, A-W-E-L-F as in farthing, L-E.
Good one.
Or you can just go to andy.coffee.
Or you can just go to andy.coffee and find you that way.
Yeah. I should just hook that up to some like weird like YTMMD page or something like that.
What?
You know YTMMD? Man Now Dog?
No. Oh, you're know so much more about the internet than I do, Andy Wellfley.
You are in for a treat. I will send you to... It's YTMND. That's short for You're the Man Now Dog. Like that movie starring Sean Connery as a professor teaching young African-American men about poetry. There's a really great website. It's a platform now, not just a website that... is the best. So anyhow, I digress. Will Fangy, A Wellfley.
dotgrid.xyz to get the shows. I'm gonna try to figure out hopefully if you go to dotgrid.xyz/15, you'll be able to pull up the show notes and any other images that don't automatically pull up in your podcast player of choice. If I can figure out how to make that work. I think I can. Listen, I gotta pimp this dotgrid.xyz. I just paid another $8 to keep it for the year.
Ooh, big spender.
So gotta make sure
somebody send us some money we need to buy.
Gotta make sure that our XYZ costs are covered. Andy Wellfley.
It's been a pleasure getting back to this.
I missed you, no homo.
I missed you too.
We should sit down again and do this in the future. People obviously want us. We have to give the people what they want.
You do. And so if this is something you want, please tweet at us and tell us that you continue to want it. You can use the @dotgridpodcast Twitter account if you want to do that.
It exists.
Yes.
I hadn't logged in like 6 months today, but now it's on everybody's radar again. That big orange icon shows right up there in your TweetBot feed. Andy Wellfley, it's been a pleasure.
Indeed.
I will talk to you again soon.
I'll see you soon.
Bye. No, you won't.
I'll talk to you soon.
Unless you accidentally hit that Facebook call button.
Yeah.
Then you'll see me. I'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.